Chapter 15, Supermind. Thought and speech are God's gift to man, intimately associated with Him and impossible without Him. A.W. Tozer. The mind is an astounding creation. It's a maze of intricate circuitry linking some 20 billion neurons and 160 billion glial cells. The brain still has not been duplicated, even with dozens of the most advanced high-speed computers. Imagine the human brain, 180 billion parts, smoothly linked and silently powered by electrochemistry. The entire wondrous machine is neatly housed in a small, bone-protected sphere, the ultimate in micro-miniaturization. If there were nothing else by which to glimpse the incredible brilliance of God, the human brain should suffice. Neurosurgeons and behavioral science researchers say the incredible human brain is now functioning at less than 7% of its design capacity. I believe this loss of mental efficiency stems directly from the fall of man through sin. But since we have seen such brilliant accomplishments while using only a fraction of our brains, imagine what we can do when our unshackled millennium minds are turned loose in science and technology. Arthur Longley has brilliantly comprehended the electrifying surge of new mental energy believers will soon experience. He says, "We ought to make it perfectly clear that immortality is not a rest cure for nervous wrecks in a Parkland rehabilitation center 50 billion miles away, but instead it is God's practical scheme to reshape civilization for the common good of mankind. Suddenly at the rapture, the Christian will inherit a life force that will stimulate the brain to high levels of intelligence, capable of grappling with the problems that now baffle the world's greatest minds." It is no small thing that the massive scientific efforts now concentrating on weapons research and on curing disease can be directed toward the blessing of humanity. It is not difficult to forecast presently unimaginable benefits accruing to millennial civilization as a result of new teams of ultra-brilliant minds focusing on constructive development. Millennial brain power will get further boost as a result of the minds being coupled with vibrantly healthy bodies. The human being is a complex system with vast numbers of interrelated subsystems. For example, a weak, diseased body hampers the efficiency of the mind. Fear, tensions, and sickness war against the perfect operation of the mind. Sin affects our mental engine like sand affects gears. When sin is banished, the mind will blossom. There will be phenomenal consequences from this sudden unshackling of human creativity. We see it in Jesus' life, and Isaiah explains it comes from God's Spirit. "The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of knowledge, shall make him quick of understanding." Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. This touch in our minds will bring giant leaps in the fields of communication, transportation, energy, and agriculture. Shall we consider a few of these exciting possibilities? The world is troubled by limitations in the supply and distribution of petroleum. Many are worrying about what we'll do to fuel our cars, ships, airplanes, and electric generating stations. Statisticians gloomily foresee lights dimming and wheels and engines sputtering to a stop. But we have a Creator whose schedule and timetables are always perfect. I believe that before all of Earth's gears lock up for want of lubrication, this age will close. Without a doubt, the oil supplies that God placed on the planet will prove adequate to squeak through this era. Then, I expect to see millennial technology breakthroughs provide the new world with inexhaustible, pollution-free energy and alternatives. Scientists know that a glass of water has more potential energy locked in its molecular structure than a million barrels of oil or 100,000 tons of coal. They just can't unlock it yet. We will see that secret unlocked to provide unlimited, pollution-free power in the age to come. The technology of the new age, with perhaps advanced fusion engines or hydrogen-oxygen fuel cell power, will provide efficient, clean, silent propulsion. The ecologists will love the millennium. The millennium will at last see an ecological utopia. Millennial magic carpets. Congestion, accidents, and pollution are consequences of our overcrowded streets and groaning transportation systems. 20th century man still travels almost exclusively in one hilly, congested plain, the Earth's surface. This will be corrected. Even with the thousands of aircraft now flying, our skies are still largely unused. There are hundreds of additional transportation corridors in the air above us. We will be traveling these airways in public supersonic airbuses or our own nifty air cars. This will enable us to swiftly and effortlessly go anywhere. We will see new engines, advanced metallurgy, even tinier computers, more advanced navigation satellites, laser landing systems, and revolutionized aerodynamics. Fast and easy to fly vehicles will be as easy as to build our mass-produced automobiles. It isn't difficult to visualize a six-passenger supersonic air car that will be driven as easily as we now pilot our own cars. With automated flight controls and landing systems, it'll be possible to program Beijing for lunch and be on our way. Millennial air cars will hover and land effortlessly, parking in our own garage. Computers will direct beautiful air freighters, perhaps a mile long, through their own assigned air corridors. They will move fresh food, materials, and even houses, playing their part in ideal logistics and distribution for all of the millennial civilization. Today's scenery is marred by millions of ugly telephone poles and power transmission lines. Millennial life will not require such crude interconnecting systems. Every building will have its own compact power unit built in, which will supply all its needs. Likewise, there will be no phones or other communication systems that are not completely wireless. Today, with our cell phones, Iridium satellite phones, and the internet, instant global communications are possible, but full of glitches. Not so in the millennium. We millenniumites will carry our own pocket televisions so we won't miss the stream of news from the world capital, Jerusalem. With these pocket portables, we can watch the breathtaking millennial transformations taking place around the world. Behold, all things become new and right before our eyes. And the content of that television will be revolutionized. Good news will be a hallmark of the age. The present bad news broadcasting network will be out of business. Perhaps newscasts from other parts of the universe will be one of the exciting Kingdom Age features. New interest in wholesome will replace the present macabre fascination with evil and violent news. No longer will men have such an appetite for the works of darkness. Won't it be nifty to get broadcasts devoid of sex, war, famine, murder, rape, robbery, riots, hate, and corrupt politicians? The telecasts we will hear will crackle with exciting good news. Miracle memory. Flawless memories will be characteristic of the millennial mind. Won't that be a neat bonus? How often we have yearned to quickly remember the names of acquaintances. During the millennium, we'll not only remember everything, we'll even instantly recognize the saints from the past generations. Paul understood this. He looked forward to a future where his knowledge burst its present boundaries. But then shall I know even as also I am known. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Won't it be something to talk to new old friends like Noah, Peter, Jonathan, and David? We will know them just like Peter instantly knew Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. See Luke chapter 9. And how great it will be to chat with more new friends like Martin Luther and those unnamed martyrs of the Roman Colosseum. We will remember everything we need to remember, dates, anniversaries, appointments. No more time wasted hunting lost items. Never again will we forget important facts or lessons. we will experience no more blanks in our mind. Babel reversed. Another exciting change will bring great joy and new efficiency to mankind during the millennium. A new language. According to Wycliffe Bible translators, there are more than 6,700 different known languages in the world today. What a terrible toll in frustration and misunderstanding these thousands of tongues have caused us. God sent this confusion of tongues upon humanity as judgment for their pride and arrogance in building the Tower of Babel. See Genesis chapter 11. But he has also promised, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent." Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Can you hear everybody praising Jesus in the same language? The Time Museum. From the moment we are born, we have to wage a running fight with sickness and death, particularly for those now battling pain. The coming glory holds special promise. Instant renewal of aching and aging bodies is imminent, and it can't come too soon. Awareness resides among the peoples of earth. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And for those fighting the ancient enemy, sickness, the good news is that Jesus Christ shall change our lowly body so that it may be fashioned like his glorious body. See Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. That's the ultimate in healing. Yes, sickness and pain will have been smashed at the rapture for every millennial saint. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. Vibrant physical and emotional health will be the kingdom age norm, and the millennium's perfect moral and spiritual environment will ensure against any relapse. Immortality is forever. We should ever bear in mind the two-tiered nature of millennial society. Many benefits that each glorified saints will enjoy may not be available to the non-glorified populace. For example, there will probably be death, aging, and some sickness among those who haven't exchanged corruption for incorruption. Maybe there will be a time museum with displays of all those obsolete things like hearing aids, toupees, dental drills, eyeglasses, surgical tools, wheelchairs, and crutches. All these could remind us of the glory of our new estate. Every stress, heartache, and pain now encountered by the born-again Christian will have fled on millennium morning. A clear vision of the millennium sets our present in perspective. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 18.